Let's pray for our pastor, Miss Anderson. They're having a good time and a safe trip as they come back. Listen, we always like them to go out of town and have a good time, but isn't it always good to have them back? Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, just for a little while tonight, I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we're going to start with number 16, and just for a little while, I'm going to preach on what must I do to be saved. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, I'm going to tell you what, she warded him to death, amen. Said, after many days, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. I tell you what, they didn't got themselves in trouble, amen. They took the very thing that they were making money on, cast that devil out of it, and now she can no more do those things and tell the things that's going to happen. So they were really mad and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Oh, yeah, preaching will trouble the city, amen. I'm going to tell you what, real preaching will trouble a church. I'm going to tell you, most churches, and there's churches on every corner, amen. The difference in the real churches are the ones that preach the unadulterated word of God, amen, without shame and without reproach. And I'll tell you what, when you preach the Bible, heaven real and hell hot, it'll separate the multitudes, amen. And it says, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." They're lying. I'm going to tell you what, they're talking about their pocketbook, amen. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, I'm going to tell you what, they beat them up pretty bad, amen. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. I'm going to tell you what, it must be something about that jailer they trusted. He not only put them right in the jail, he took them to the innermost parts, buddy, and put them in there and put them in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Could you imagine being in that prison, amen? All you could think about was, look, I'm locked up. No way out, but I'll tell you what, there's always a way with God, amen. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. I'm going to tell you, what a coincidence that earthquake just happened to happen, amen. At that time and place, I'm going to tell you what, God knew Paul and Silas was in there, and God had a jailer on his mind, amen. And the keeper of the prison awake out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." I'm going to tell you what, that separated me and Paul right there, buddy. When the earthquake happened and the bonds were loose, old Brother Dale would have been running out of there, amen. I'd have been shouting it out, "I'm free, I'm free." But old Paul and Silas stood their ground. Said, "Don't worry about it, we're still here, we're not running out of here." Says, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling. I'm going to tell you what, that jailer, the big boss of the prison, amen, he came trembling, sprang in, and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm going to tell you what, he saw something that night. He heard something that night. I'm going to tell you what, could you imagine? No doubt that jailer, he was lost as a goose. He was a jailer of the prison. I'm going to tell you what, but could you imagine that jailer sitting there? And I'm going to tell you, after he had put Paul and Silas in the innermost parts of the prison, amen, and heard them start singing out and praising unto God. How many of us could have done that? And they said, and brought them out and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house." I'm going to tell you what, a little while tonight, what must I do to be saved? Well, first of all, and I'm going to go ahead and settle this thing before I even get down in it. What must you do to be saved? It's going to take Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's the very reason right there that you ought to go down to a Bible preaching church. I'm going to tell you what, every denomination's got their own way of salvation. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if it's not Jesus Christ plus anything, or Jesus Christ minus anything, you are going to be in trouble, amen. I'm going to tell you what, just this week, I want to show our hands tonight. Who lived in such a way that you find yourself worthy of God's salvation, amen? Let me see a show of hands. I'm going to tell you what, isn't that something? Not one person in a crowd this size is able to say that I lived in such a way that I'm worthy of salvation. I'm going to tell you right here and right here tonight that if our salvation depends on us to keep it, we are all most miserable. We all going to bust hell wide open, amen. The more I try to do good and to live sinless, I'll tell you what, the devil knows that too, amen. And the very thing that you are thinking about, or you're listening, asking for prayer about, I'm going to tell you what, the devil knows just what to do. Some of the things that I've done in the past and been forgiven with, the devil will bring it back up and run it right before my eyes, amen. That's why I tell you, younger generation here, don't do some of the things that I've done. Don't get yourself caught up in sin like that, because even though you can get forgiven, it'll always be in your mind, amen. I told our Sunday school class, look, if I tell you tonight there's a rattlesnake out that door, and if you open it, that dude's going to bite you. Why in the name of God would you test that rattlesnake? By example, I'm trying to teach you tonight and to keep you in some areas away than what I've seen and done in my lifetime, amen. Jesus Christ plus nothing and minus nothing. You know, churches, you get here, well, it takes my preacher to baptize you. Well, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Well, you got to do Jesus plus works. I'm going to tell you what, all those things will keep you confused, but I'll tell you what, this is the difference right here. Are you being convicted tonight? You ask the question, look, I just don't know if I'm being saved. I have conviction tonight. But you know what? My convictions has changed since I've been saved. You know, when I was unsaved, my convictions, and it would come upon me, and I'd hear God's word being preached, and the conviction would be about my salvation. But it's not that way anymore, amen? My convictions are, look, Brother Darrell, why don't you do more? Why do you act and do the way you do? Why don't you clean up your act? Why don't you tighten the belt, Luke, up a little bit? Why don't you go out and visit more, call more? I'm going to tell you what, that's the difference in conviction of salvation, amen. Now, what's going on with you tonight? Are you living in the path and a fake salvation, and you're being convicted about it? That's only you and you alone can make that decision. I'd like to be able to sit down with you and say, and reason with you and say, look, boy, I know you're such a good person that you've got to be saved, but I cannot do that. It'll take you and you alone and alone with God. But I'll tell you what, if I could give you any advice tonight, when in doubt, make it right. Make it right. Today's the day of salvation, amen. Tomorrow may not ever come. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Is there a righteous person in here? I've already asked you. Which one of us lived in such a way? Hey, I said a week. What about today? This is Sunday. It's a commanded day. Ought to be a day that we really live holy in the Lord. How many of us has lived in such a way today that we deserve God's salvation? Put a price tag on God's salvation. If you can, you're lost as a goose, amen. Lost as a goose. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. Romans 6:23, "For it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I'm going to tell you what, Romans 10:9, it says, "That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you let my pastor baptize you in Jesus' name, and if you have a lot of these works right here, thou shalt be saved." No, that's not what it said. That's adding to the scripture, amen. You can take verses out of the Bible and you can take them and you can go to exactly just about what all these Fruit Loops believe. But I'll tell you what, my main question is, hey, you think yourself better than what you are. I used to work with a Nazarene. He told me quick, he did not sin. I said, there you go right there, you're a liar. And it said, not no liars is going to enter into the heaven. It's sickening to be around some of these folks when they think themselves sinless. I'm going to tell you what, we live in a real world, and I tell you, we ought to strive not to sin. But when I do sin, I ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you, 99.9% of the times that I do sin, I willfully sin, and that's wrong, and so do you. When I run my mouth and say things I ought not to, I could have shut that mouth before I done it, amen. When I look upon things I shouldn't look at, I knew better. I knew better, and so do you. When I do some of the things I do, and all of you can put yourself in this situation here, you can go ahead and point it back to you, because you all know everybody is built different. But when you do some things that you do, you know better. You very well know better. Do it anyway. Lord, help us. "For with thine heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" All these Fruit Loops out there that never go down to the house of God, preaching offends them. The word of God offends them. But they're all going to heaven. You got family and friends, I tell you what, that's afraid of the house of God. Afraid of the preaching of the word of God. And we always wonder whether it's how we said it or what we said it. It's both. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's both. It's not just what I say, it's how I say it too. Because you know what? When you give people no out, they have nowhere to go. But do just what I said this morning. God's got them something. It's either a blessing or a curse. And boy, people just don't want to make that kind of decision. Amen. We want to make every decision under the sun, but except the ones that really matter. Amen? Well, I got a new job opportunity. That's easy. Man, I'm looking at a new car. I want it. That's easy. You see what I'm trying to tell you? But when we talk about serving God and about salvation, God lays the demand at the heart. And I wish I could help you. And I can by giving you the Word of God. What must I do to be saved? So you know, salvation's free, but it's not cheap. You say, well, how do I know? You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm one of those ones that, look, growing up, I was ignorant. We didn't go to church a whole lot, but when we did, Mom took us to a little non-denominational thing. Then we'd go to a Baptist church, we'd flop around, then wouldn't go, this, that, and the other. I asked God to save me every night, years. God saved me. You know what? It's ignorance of the Scripture. Even when I got into a Bible-believing church, it takes years to be comfortable. So you ask me the exact time and place that I was saved, I really couldn't tell you. Now, I know that's voodoo in a Baptist church. You know, we sing that thing about, was it Monday, was it Tuesday, was it Wednesday that you got saved? I don't even know how it goes. I'm sure some of y'all do. That's the reason why right there that you go to a Bible preaching church that'll stay on the right path. That way, when we grow these children up, the preacher said he went to a dead as a doorknob church today. No children or young children whatsoever. You know what? That's a dead church walking already. All they waiting on is the old fogies to go ahead and die, and they can go ahead and shut the door. It's already shut anyway. That's the reason why it's so important that we preach and teach and have. And listen, before church, did you see 7 or 8 young people right here? Fellowshipping, bumping them gums. That's the lifeblood of a church, amen? That growing up generation that being preached to and taught the Word of God, and you know what? Taught the truth. Not one way this way, a next way, the next week, and look up one down and down the other. Wicked as hell. You turn from the Scriptures, young folks, you're turning from God's Word, amen? You've been taught the truth. We've been taught the truth. Do you realize that you'll have no excuse? What must I do to be saved? If Jesus is knocking at your heart's door and you're unsure, it's time to make it right. I'm not going to tell you to repeat after me. I'm going to just go ahead and say, look, if you've got a problem, He's very willing to straighten it out, amen, and get it right in your life. Let's all stand. Brother Jared, why don't you dismiss us?